Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube and Facebook Live. Pete Gray here, along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa, right next to the very busy Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Lots of big tuna coming across the dock there. And we have a great guest, Dale Hightower from Seaguar, and of course more. We'll talk about some of his other lines too during this hour, but a lot to talk about here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, this is a great day and a great morning, and we're so stoked to see that big fish bite, and it was so nice to come into the landing and see all the big carts and have that tuna get back on the bite. And well, speaking of back on the bite, we're talking about it today, and we want to talk to you. If you want to join us in the second hour, the only way to do it is through the Let's Talk Hookup app and sending us a text. As soon as you fire off the app, the first thing you'll see is the text the show option, and just fill out your text, ask your questions to Dale, and make sure that you include your contact info, just a name and a phone number, so that if you win that killer prize at the end of the show, we can make sure to get it to you. Again, so generous of Dale and the guys over at Seaguar. Someone is going to win a six-pack of Seaguar Gold Label Fluoro. I'm so stoked for the big winner of that because it is my favorite fluorocarbon out there.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's now. Soon to be.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and Dale let the cat out of the bag. Hey, Dale, how come you got that? How come you let that cat out of the bag, man? Yeah. That's like big news.
That's huge news.
Well, you know, just for your listeners, we're going into ICAST. It's a month away. We're making meetings with our customers, and I figured the best way to get the word out is through your guys' show.
Awesome, man.
Well, we appreciate that, buddy. That's great news.
That's good stuff. Well, hey, find time to find out and continue to find out what's biting out there.
You got it, man. Our fishdope.com reporter, the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, is on the line right now. Today, that catch report sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get a premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. You can stop by their location on Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure you make your reservation today. We got him, the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, is standing by. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Ricky, Pete, Dale, great show. Pete, I'm glad you made it back from God's country.
Yeah, made it back. I'll give a little report later on in the show today, but Christmas Island was fun.
Nice. So, guys, we're a week away from the actual start of summertime, but, man, you wouldn't know it. We've got some full-on fantastic summertime fishing going on right now in many different areas. And for the Southern California private boater, man, this is prime time. They are biting. So starting up north, the islands, those islands get their share of weather up there, and it's a little breezy now, of course. Had a couple nice days, but, you know, back to the regular program. But that bite goes on regardless. Halibut at all three islands. Rosa's got more schoolie-sized sea bass. Santa Cruz and Ana Capa have got more of the tanker grade. Big one that I heard of this week was 71 or 72 pounds. That's the real deal, man. That's a trophy sea bass for sure. At San Nicolas, you know, they got some weather issues out there right now, but when it's fishable, that halibut fishing right now is just spectacular, along with the healthy sprinkle of sea bass mixed in out there on the sand spit. Sea bass on the sand spit. Santa Barbara Island, they got kind of a similar setup, halibut and sea bass both. And along with those guys, tackle busting home guard yellows. You know, they love living there at SBI, and they love living right on the edge of that structure. You got to fish 40-pound with a heavy drag and pull hard or else. You know, the guys hook a lot of that big fish and land a lot less than they hook, but the guys that fish the heavier gear do a heck of a lot better. So, or at Catalina, fine summertime fishing there. All the stock kelp line critters are biting full speed right now, and more yellows showing up at the island. Bigger tanker grade fish are on the backside on the bait grounds, like you might expect, of course. And schoolies more on the front side, all up and down on the stock spots there. and don't necessarily need a squid. This time of year, they're pretty much switched over and they're biting, if you can get them, sardines, and most of the guys are fishing anchovies. And you probably want to be fishing like a number two or number four hook on 12 or 15 pound test for that front side yellow. They're not that big, and man, you just get a whole bunch more bites that way. Or at San Clemente Island, man, it's finally shaking off the doldrums. There's a little bit of squid in the cove, and with the squid, there's some good grade yellows and sea bass both on it, and a little bit of yellow scattered up and down the front, but a lot of seals scattered up and down the front also. And then locally, near and dear to my heart, out there on the famous Horseshoe Kelp, it's looking the best it has in years. The water's warm and clean and got a good mix of calico bass and sand bass. You're starting to see some schools of sand bass, kind of like the old days. And, man, those bass are biting the plastic. They're biting the iron, but they just love an anchovy and a small hook and 12 or 15-pound test, man.
Ooh,
that's just,
that's
great. That is the answer right now. Jeez. Yeah, it's just it's just awesome. And one of the sport boats caught the first yellowtail of the year on the Horseshoe yesterday, so that's a good sign. And then as to that bluefin, you know, in terms of private boaters, you know, that stuff out west dried up, went MIA. The stuff down below you guys there, below San Diego, been kind of hard to get information on. I really don't have a good handle on where they're fishing, although I'm thinking it's maybe out toward the 390 there somewhere. But it's really nice that this reports you've had here in the last few minutes about the guys coming in with more and more of that big fish. You know, they took a break for a few days like those bluefins do, and it looks like they're getting back on the program, and it's just ready to go wide open again.
Time to go fishing. Yeah, and it's nice to hear that some daytime fish, right? Love to hear the daytime fish.
It really felt like tonight was the – or last night, rather, was the night that things really clicked back into gear, too. There was good fishing, and it started right off the bat, which is really nice, too. You know, one of the issues that, you know, comes with nighttime jig fishing bluefin is, you know, that fish doesn't decide when it wants to bite. We always joke about it in the store. Like, the guys that do the best are the guys that just stay at it all night. And that's easy to say. Like, everybody is at the rail at, you know, 8:45, 9 o'clock, right after you've had a great dinner and you're fresh and you're ready to go. But the guys that are up at midnight or 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. are the
it's
hardcore.
It's been like the 3 a.m. bite, right?
It has been. And last night,
you have
it got,
fun with that, right?
Last night it got started off right off the bat. You know, there were guys.
Right after dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was last night. You know, with Starling, things have changed so much. And there was guys that were, you know, having such good fishing, they were going live on their Instagram account, showing them pulling onto a school and then hearing all the cheering in the background and guys hooking a bunch of fish. Like, last night really seemed like it was the night that things truly kicked back into gear for us. There was some good hits.
Yeah, that's great news. We got a couple customers on a couple different boats right now as we speak, and that's great to hear that report from you. That one of the gentlemen, he's a little older and he's maybe not in the best of shape, and I was trying to explain what you were just saying. You know, you got to stay up.
Yeah.
And if that bite time happens to be 3 a.m., you better not be down in that bunk sleeping. You better be ready to go. So I can't wait to hear his report. This is going to be really interesting. But time to go fishing, guys. They're biting.
Well said, buddy. Great job, Mark. Appreciate it very much. If somebody wants to come find you, get the greatest information and certainly the best bait tanks on the water, how do we find you?
Ricky, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by that big Chevron station. And phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And we're going to have some good stories to talk about next week. Oh, I can just feel it already.
All right. Stay attention to FishDope.com because they've got all the inside information. That's where Mark gets it. $30 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Hook up now, lowercase, no space, is your $30 code at fishdop.com. And, Mark, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next Saturday for more good stuff.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
All right.
You
thanks,
got
Mark.
It. We'll see you.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's talk fluorocarbon and more.
I'm ready, buddy.
Yeah. So, Dale, you also, besides Seaguar, which is your major line, what else do you and your brother rep?
We represent six of the premium manufacturers in this industry. So Seaguar is always our lead off. Obviously, it's fun to talk fluorocarbon, but we also do some stuff in the freshwater side. So we do Z-Man fishing products out of South Carolina. And Z-Man's a company that is known for a product called the Chatterbait.
Yeah.
And anybody falls bass fishing, if you don't have a Chatterbait, especially a Z-Man Chatterbait tied on, it is on the deck of my bass boat every time I go bass fishing. So that company is, well, you know, a leader in that industry. We also do Hayabusa hooks and Sabiki bait rigs out of Japan. And can't catch fish if you don't have bait. And their Sabikis, and some of their Sabikis are actually tied with Seaguar fluorocarbon. So it is definitely a product that that kind of set the standard in bait catching. We also do a company called Bubba Products, and they are known for their fillet knives. We also make a lot of fishing accessories as well.
I'd say their hand tools and gaffs are becoming as popular as their knives are, though.
Yeah, and believe it or not, Bubba started out of San Diego. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. There's actually a guy called Bubba. He works out of Dana Landing, and he started
Bubba at Dana Landing. That's where they started Bubba.
That's
with,
the guy.
Right?
There, people think Bubba started in the South, and it didn't. It started in San Diego.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Also, do Nomad Design Tackle, which obviously the DTX basically revolutionized wahoo fishing, and anybody that's seen those in action. It basically, if you want to catch a wahoo on a long range trip, if you don't have a DTX on, you're putting yourself at a huge disadvantage.
We were trolling a DTX in Christmas Island and caught yellowfin tuna on.
No, they catch that's the bait that put Nomad on the map here on the West Coast, and they're based out of Australia. And then that whole Mad Max craze a couple years ago for bluefin, I've never seen anything like that in the fishing tackle industry. That bait became so hot that people were selling them on the quote black market for hundreds of dollars.
That's crazy. And then you just got a new line, right?
Yep, I actually got back from a week sales meeting in Wisconsin. We just picked up St. Croix rods out of Wisconsin.
Good for you guys.
Oldest American made rod company, 70 years old. They're really, I just got done with a factory tour. The attention to detail that rod company has is absolutely unbelievable. And they make some of the finest rods on the planet. You know, they're not really geared into the West Coast fishery yet, but as far as bass fishing goes and trout fishing, fly rods.
They do quite well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see excited to see what will happen with the influence of having the high towers on board too. Maybe we'll see a little calico bass crossover, some inshore stuff, or who knows what.
Yeah, well, they hired me and Jason, and we have another gentleman that works with us, Paulo, and he covers Northern California, and they know that we're pretty serious about saltwater out here.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm excited. That's awesome.
Well, let's get back onto those texts because people want to talk fluorocarbon. So and more. If you wanted to have a question about Nomad or any of the lines on Z-Man, whatever, Dale can answer the questions, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, this was a good one, and I've seen this in several forms from several texters. So this one says, good morning, guys. What a great show. Dale, can you give us the appropriate shelf life on fluoro? When should we be considering changing, replacing, fishing, et cetera?
Well, the company slogan is 5 years is what we say that it is guaranteed for. As we talked earlier in the show, definitely you can fish it well beyond the 5-year shelf life. But I tell people, if you haven't used it in 5 years, you do not fish enough. you need to fish more. That is the fact. I mean, if you buy a spool of fluorocarbon and you have not fished it in you need to rethink your fishing schedule.
Yeah.
Find
more time to go fishing. Yeah, for sure. Hey,
exactly.
I have a great text, but what do we say when you have texts? Include your name and your phone number.
Yes.
And
contact
so
info.
No phone number, no name, so no prize for you.
Oh, man.
But it's such a good question, I want to read it. So great show, guys. Going on a 2-day first week of July. I'm a big fan of Blue Label, but I've been told to use mono instead of fluoro fishing the jig at night. What's your take on this? Fish tuna for many years, but first trip for these big bluefin at nighttime.
What people are referring to in saying fish mono, you could buy some very large size mono. I don't even know what the biggest size is, but let's say you buy 300-pound mono, a lot cheaper than fluorocarbon. But in the fluorocarbon, it's much more abrasion resistant than monofilament. So if you get a fish that chokes it in its throat, which it happens, sure. It's a big fish. I got the confidence that the fluorocarbon is going to hold up to those teeth on bluefin. I'm not saying that mono won't, but I have all the confidence that the four coming well. And, you know, all it takes is one fish to make your trip on that. And I don't leave anything to chance. And I'm fishing 200-pound blue label in the dark for those big bluefin.
Okay. The other thing that you mentioned is longevity, too. I mean, you know, you get past the season and you've made that leader. You had it coiled up in your box with mono. You don't know that you can trust that the same. But, you know, you make up all your leaders ahead of time for your trip. And, you know, these ones got used, these ones didn't. Next year, you got your long-range trip. You know that fluoro material is still going to be just as strong, and you're going to get that longevity out of it. It might cost twice as much, but when it lasts four times as long, you're still saving money in the long run.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rick. I want to point out to everybody that monofilament is porous. Monofilament absorbs water. So when you're fishing monofilament, it gets a little softer, and it's because it's kind of like a sponge. And then when you are no longer fishing it and it dries out, it loses those characteristics of a like new monofilament. Fluorocarbon is a complete solid. It does not absorb water. So if you fish it, put it in your leader bag or your jig bag, you can guarantee that it's going to perform like it did the last time you used it.
There you go.
Dale, I wonder if I could sneak my own question in for you. And it's a trick that you taught me years ago. And if you're fluoro, like, and this is from your long range fishing, and or for whatever it might be, if your fluoro top shot, so you've got a reel that's full of spectra and you're fishing a 25 foot fluorocarbon top shot, and that line has been on the reel for however long it's been, you know, all day during the trip, you know, all line, whether it be fluorocarbon or mono, has kind of got that memory coil, you know, coil look to it when it comes off. And you taught me the trick of putting the hook on a boat cleat or somewhere else and kind of walking back and stretching it, and then the fluoro kind of relaxes and gets real soft and supple again, and that memory goes away. Does that do anything to the strength of the line, or are we compromising the overall strength of it, or is that just a way of getting the line to be nice and loose so it casts and fishes a little better?
Yeah, there's no compromise on that. So good that you brought that up, because it's like a little trick that, you know, you don't see people doing. And you take the time, pre-stretch your leader. Like you said, hook it on. You know, a lot of times the rod straps on the back for trolling outfits is usually what I hook it on, walk up, stretch it. You know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to put it at 35 pounds to do it. But, I mean, if you give it a good stretch, it lays out so nice. And I know for a fact that the guys that take the time to do that with a nice straight leader is more likely than a leader that's got coils in it. Your bait's going to swim so much more naturally in the water. And, you know, that's the trick to catching fish.
So why does it retain the coils?
I think, like, it's just the nature of the product. You know, you even if you're putting, you know, 12-pound on a bait casting reel, it's got a little bit of memory it's going to have over on that spool. So, you know, stretching it out, making it nice and straight is, especially in those bigger sizes, Rick, you know, you're taking 100 and 130-pound line. You know, it's I'm not going to say it's rope, but it's a lot larger than a fishing 40-pound.
Totally.
So, you know, those big fish, you know, they're big. They didn't get big for being stupid.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Darren and Menifee has a Nomad question for you. He says, patrolling,
yeah.
I've always heard about 7 knots is the most common number. Mad Max, about 14. For the DTX, is there a more middle number or stick about 7? What about a cedar plug?
Well, we don't make any cedar plugs, so so I'm not the expert on trolling cedar plugs, but I am an expert on trolling DTXs, and the new HD DTXs are, you know, we came out with those. I think they really hit the market last year, and it really changed trolling behind our bigger boats. The turbulence that our big boats put off is usually what prevents it from trolling any faster than probably 10 knots. If you're in a private boat and you're not putting out the wake behind the boat and the turbulence and the prop wash, you could probably troll it faster. So, but on the big boats, I think that magic number is between 7 and 10 knots. Mad Max, I don't know. I've heard you guys troll them at 16 knots.
That's crazy.
Now, what's the difference between the old one and the new version of the HDs?
Yeah, it's basically so you guys are probably familiar with the original 220 size DTX, which is basically called the long range special. We basically put a complete metal harness in that, so that the when a fish hits the deck and beats around, it doesn't affect the attachment points where the hooks come in, there's no way that those things can get twisted or bent. And that's usually what would cause a bait that ran good, hit the deck, kind of got compromised, and then you put it back behind the boat and it didn't run straight. So we took that 220 technology and upgraded into three different baits, a 180, a 200, and a 220 size, welded rings, and just put that technology in it. And we also upgraded the technology on the molding on it to make it more durable. Because, you know, we're pretty brutal on our baits and on the boats. You know, when those Wahoo and tuna come over the rail and they hit the deck, usually it's the crew beating them with a bat to subdue them, or the fish itself beating against the deck is what actually causes those baits casualties. So Damon really wanted to make a bait that a guy could fish and take the abuse. And the HDs, the heavy duties, are, you know, we've changed all the way over to them.
And I
tell people, it's a game changer on it.
It's been really well received from our long range fleet, because that was the thing, the originals got bit so darn good that you were fishing them no matter what. You had to, because if you were in the lineup and you didn't have one of those out there, the other guy that was fishing the DTX was going to get the bite. You know, if there was a downside, just like we were talking about fluorocarbon, they didn't really get the longevity of Wahoo trolling lures of the past. You know, if there was a downside to it, that was it. And then the HDs came out and just pretty much solved that problem. You know, now you'll get a lot of fish out of it. Likely something else is going to take it away before it stops swimming. And they're great. That was a huge, huge bonus that you guys did making that heavier duty version.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example of how heavy duty they are. So when I did my 8-day last October, when I left the boat, I left the crew a whole bunch to, you know, for using on the boat. And then a month later, Jason had his 9-day on the Red Rooster, and they were fishing the same HDs that I left with them a month before.
Yeah, a month of living in Wahoo season, a day, every single day going on the boat, that's really saying something.
Yeah. And Jason was like, "Can you believe they're still fishing the ones that you left them?" I'm like, "Well, I thought maybe they lost them. I was confident they would last, but it's crazy." And you know, one of the things I want to talk about, if you want a real quick tip here, is I run them. I know the Red Rooster runs them. I'm not sure about all the other boats, but we run them straight fluoro or mono. There's no leaders. We're running 100-pound fluoro or mono. Those Wahoo tend to eat them right in the middle. They run better. They get bit better. Yeah, you will have a casualty from time to time, but it's not common.
Well, we say that like anytime you're putting something in the water in Wahoo country that doesn't have a piece of wire on it, eventually something is going to take it from you. But the beauty of those is they're so long and the hooks are so appropriately positioned that most of the bites you get are not going to get you. And there is just... it is a night and day difference on how much better that thing gets bit with a piece of fluoro on it than it does with a piece of 275 wire.
And I know people don't want to lose one, but I always tell everybody, sometimes you got to donate one to the Wahoo gods every once in a while.
Yeah. And it does you. Well, see, you guys are in the tackle business. Sure. Well, hey, yeah. It benefits you guys, right?
But I always tell a guy to, like, let the pace of the Wahoo fishing dictate how you put it in the water. If you're down there on a scratchy trip and there's not a lot of bites to be had, or, you know, if you're the third boat that gets to the rocks or the ridge and there's been other guys in front of you and it's a little higher pressured, that's sure when you want to. Yeah, got to be stealthy. Put a piece of 100-pound fluoro on it.
Yeah.
If you're the first boat down there after 2 weeks of break and the Wahoo are put, by all means, feed them the wire and don't worry about it. But,
and the reality is, everybody listening who goes long-range fishing has probably a whole shelf full of stuff.
I know I do.
You might as well lose one once in a while anyway, right?
I like your idea,
yeah.
Pete. I'm with
you. Hey, I want to take a minute just to talk a little bit about our trip to Christmas Island last week. It was a super fun trip. We had a nice group of people. Harold Davis brought a whole group of great people from the Central Coast and a lot of Let's Talk Hookup listeners on that. And then my brother-in-law John from Cleveland came along, and Steve Pinard from Dana Landing, and Patrick G, formerly of Shimano and G Outdoors, came along, and that was our team. We there's four little boat, and so Christmas Island, and I know Dale, you've been there several times. It's a pretty amazing place. You either flats fish in the beautiful flats. It seems like endless flats. And you've been there too, Rick. It's an amazing place. We stayed at the Villages again, which is a great spot. It's right on the water, right on the flats. And you get
truly
on these,
right on the water.
Yeah, it's literally right on the water. And you go out on these. They're basically like catamaran boats that are built on the island with outboards on it, 40 to 60 horsepower outboards on it. So we group up. Generally speaking, we went out on the flats in the morning, and then fished. Harold's group did all flats all day long.
Really?
We chose every day to do the flats in the morning and then go offshore or inshore in the afternoon. Now, weather always plays a factor when you're bone fishing or flats fishing for trevally and such like that. If the sun is out and the wind's not blowing 20 knots, which is uncommon.
Because this is sight fishing.
It's all sight
fishing.
See you can see the fish, and the guides are amazing what they can see compared to. And at the Villages, you get your own guide, which is amazing. So everybody had their own guide. And we had a lot of cloud cover. So when there's a lot of cloud cover, we said, well, let's shoot offshore and then maybe come back inshore. There were several days like that. But the big disappointment this time was the abundance of bonefish. The word is, during COVID, the island was shut down for 3 years. The only intrusion they had was every 6 months they'd get a boat. No planes, no
six
nothing.
6 months?
6 months they'd get a boat.
So two times a year,
for 3 years,
a boat brings supply
for
in.
3 years.
Oh, no
So
way.
Needless to say, that's 5,000 to 7,000 people that live on the island were starving, right?
Wow.
So they netted the crap out of the flats.
They had to eat
something. They ate bonefish, they ate trevally, they ate milkfish, they ate
whatever
everything
they
there. Yeah. But,
wow, what a bummer.
And they don't like to talk about that, but
sure.
That, the reality is that's what happened.
Yeah.
Because when you and I went and when Dale went, the abundance of bonefish, we'd have 40 to 100 shots a day on bonefish.
Yeah, totally.
This time, you'd have, I mean, my best day when the sun was bright sign all morning and no wind and very little wind, I had 20 shots and landed 11.
Okay.
That was my best day.
Yeah.
Steve Pinard had a good day, he had 13 that same day. But there were days where I caught zero, and there were days that most days I catch 4 to 5 six, you know, between our group. That was kind of the average, it seemed like. And there were a few shots at triggerfish on the fly or on the spinner. Patrick G caught a couple of nice triggerfish the first day on spinners. But the shots were not as abundant as they used to be. And still an unbelievable experience.
Sure.
Walking the flats and being able to catch a bonefish when you hook is absolutely the most insane run you've ever seen in your life. It's fantastic. So I'm not trying to discourage people from going to Christmas Island. It's just different than it was.
And I don't blame them because I was there and like they were so protective over those fish.
Absolutely.
Everything got released. It like bums me out more than anything because you know that they knew the worth of those fish.
Right.
You got to eat. You know, what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do when your kids are looking?
Right.
You got to feed the family. You got to feed the village.
That's
just a bummer that they had to go that route. But that's just part of the experience, too.
Absolutely. It's a total experience. It's 70 miles above the equator, so the weather's really kind of perfect. You know, it's like 78 at night, 85 during the day. This time we had no bugs.
Oh, nice.
I know you got dengue fever there one year than when you went.
And I'm still wanting to go back.
They haven't had any issues with that lately. And
good.
I think I had 2 or 3 bug bites in a week. So
you mentioned before the show started too that you thought the food was, you know, the food was
considerably
the food
better.
Was always very adequate. It wasn't the highlight of your trip. It was certainly not never bad, but you said the food was multiple times better than it ever had been before.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great news.
Yeah. The other downside was we saw two super seiners there with two factory ships.
Oh,
so tuna abundance was very limited. We did go out and catch 5 tuna one morning, but that was trolling, and that's not really what we wanted to do. In the afternoons, we concentrated on throwing the popper for GTs and then reef fishing with small flatfall jigs.
Okay.
And the reef fishing was unbelievable. It was virtually every drop was a beautiful reef fish that.
And you're catching cool reef fish, coral trout, cool. Red bass,
small
and all those rad aquarium looking hard fighting groupers that you've never even seen or have no clue what the name were. Like
nice size groupers too. Yeah, and they pull hard. All that stuff pulls real hard. So and fun on light tackle or medium sized tackle. And then my brother-in-law John hooked. He got three trevally, like 40 pounders,
giant GTs,
on poppers, which is super exciting. Yeah. Right? I got zero. I just didn't have the lucky. I was even using his rod and his popper when he wasn't using it. Still wasn't doing it
Whatever it was, wasn't
and
happening.
Steve Pinard got a nice GT, and I know Patrick hooked a nice GT too and lost it. But and then one of our guides got a GT. So there were some GTs GTs to be caught, but not super abundant, but super fun. And then, of course, the snorkeling. The last day we snorkeled, there was no wind. And then there was no current, and it was 100-plus foot visibility. Just fantastic.
Hard to describe how cool the fish abundance and the snorkeling is there. I mean, legitimately hard to describe. Yeah. Like I felt like I was on a ride at Disneyland. Like, it's just crystal clear, and the reef, and the fish, and big fish, and
beautiful
really cool.
place. Yeah. And then, of course, we'd end our day with a snorkel, and then crack a beer, and head back to the lodge.
It was a
really nice getaway, and once a week flight on Fiji Air, which Fiji Air is a nice airline. Yeah. They were flying a 737-8 MAX there, and it's only a 3-hour flight from Honolulu, so super easy to get. We saw some guys on the flight and got a chance to talk to them that went over to the nearby Fanning Island, which there's a new Fanning Island Lodge there. But the guys are telling me it's like basically it's rough camping.
Okay.
He says there's like no facilities, no shower, no air conditioning. But he said the fishing, he said all of their group got a 10-pound bonefish.
Oh, wow.
And they had like lots of shots of GTs, and, 100 fish days were easy to get if you wanted to catch 100. But that's Fanning Island.
You got to work for it.
Like, and there's occasionally a flight there, and maybe you get back. But so, but that's an option that you might look into if you're really hardcore. Those guys lived in Hawaii, so they could go pretty often down there. But, Christmas Island, super cool. Want to thank Guy up at Fishing with Larry for putting everything together. Of course, Cast Tours used to put it all together for us. Guy from Fishing with Larry is now kind of the head guy for running the villages, which is a great place to stay there. Super reasonable price. It was $33.90 per person for 7 days of fishing, 7 nights lodging,
and a guide
all your
for
meals
7 days.
And your guide, the whole thing. You just have to tip the guide $50. $50 a day Australian, which is like $35. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. So it's super full.
The other thing that I really dug about Christmas is it is likely one of the most remote places you will ever travel to that is somehow also still extremely easy to travel to.
Correct.
You are so far away from everything, yet it's getting there is just not that big of a deal.
And you get to see the Southern Cross.
There you go.
Which is cool. So anyway. Great. Still, even though the abundance wasn't there, it'll come back.
Oh, no doubt.
It'll absolutely come back. So if you want to do an exotic trip, Fishing with Larry, call Guy up there, and he's super cool.
That's cool. I'm glad it was good. All right. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup, including a whole lot more with our boy Dale Hightower from Seaguar. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Haida Gwaii Safaris, formerly Queen Charlotte Safaris, invites you to experience the magic of the Haida Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, I'm Valerie Hopebridge. 25 years ago, I fell in love with these incredible islands, the breathtaking scenery, the warm community, and the truly phenomenal fishing. That passion inspired me to open my own fishing lodge, just steps from the Sanspit Harbor at Haida Gwaii Safaris. You will be fishing in pristine, pressured waters for Chinook, King Salmon, Halibut, Lingcod, and much more. Plus, be surrounded by untouched beauty. We pride ourselves on creating an unforgettable venture that turns first-time guests into lifetime friends. You will come for the fishing, and you will come back for the memories. We are booking now. Call us at 1-877-815-2892 or visit our website, qcsafaris.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Haida Gwaii Safaris, where adventure and friendship meet.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And boy, I'll tell you, I took a Trinidad or Talica 12 over there to Christmas Island, and I fished that for the reef fish. I fished that trolling for the tuna. It's such a versatile reel.
How cool is it that you can have a reel that fits in your hand, can cast a live bait if you need, get tons of drag pressure, fits in the palm of your hand, but if you hook a 100-pound tuna, you're still perfectly in the driver's seat.
There's no question about it. The cool thing about Talica is now they have a complete lineup. Anyway, from the Talica A's, which is the new style, and you can catch a big tuna on a Talica 20 or 25, and perfect for nighttime fishing.
Yeah, I love it. Jig fishing, comfortable handles, great free spool. They are the reel, the brand new Shimano Talica A series.
Check it out at your local Shimano dealer.
It's employee pricing, and it's happening now at your San Diego County Ford dealers. That's right, employee pricing across a full lineup for trucks and SUVs. A lineup featuring California's number one truck brand and Ford F-Series, America's all-time best-selling SUV and Ford Explorer, the iconic Ford Bronco, and more. No automaker employs more hourly workers or assembles more vehicles here in America than Ford Motor Company. And that's a commitment your San Diego County Ford dealers share by offering employee pricing to you. It's only for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Hurry to your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
Hey, anglers. AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here with Dale Hightower from Seaguar. Well, Seaguar and a whole bunch of other great things.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Nomad and now St. Croix.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of stuff.
It's just easy to talk about Seaguar because it's a product that I use every time I go saltwater fishing, but it's a product I use every time I go fishing. I mean, all of my freshwater tackle is braid and a short little piece of fluoro, unless it's crankbait fishing or something similar, I have a whole spool of Tatsu on. So I don't go fishing without Seaguar, and it's just fun to have Dale on here this morning.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's head down to the East Cape right now. Let's talk to our good buddy Chris Moyers with Smokey's Curing Company and Cantina with our Baja report. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, can you hear me?
I got you now.
What's up, buddy?
All right. Buenos dias, guys. How's it going?
Excelente, amigo.
All right. Well, let's get right to it, man. We had another great week of fishing. I'll be honest, the last couple days kind of fell off a little bit. I think it's due to maybe the moon or something. But let me tell you, we've had a two-month run of just incredible tuna fishing. I mean, all you got to do, it's anywhere between 10 and 30 miles. I sound like a broken record, but you just head out. Straight out or, you know, off Pescadero to the north, all the way to the south off maybe Cabo Pulmo, Los Frailes. You go find those porpoise, and you are catching a lot of tuna. Limits on tuna, pretty much all the boats catching limits. A good size. We're getting a lot of 50s and 60s. Hey, we saw a 153-pounder this past week.
Woo!
Nice tuna there. Let's talk about inshore. Incredible rooster fish bite. Smaller ones right there off La Ribera at the marina, right at the mouth of the jetty right there, smaller ones. But if you want to catch bigger ones, you head on down to Lighthouse Punta Reina and then in the little bay, Las Barracas, El Rincon, to get the bigger ones, the 40-pounders. Guys are having a lot of fun doing that. And let me tell you, I heard you guys talking about the wahoo, man. Let me tell you, the wahoo bite is going off right now, guys. I was, I don't get on the dock as much as I used to, but it's the highlight of my day. And I'm telling you, man, on Wednesday I was out there, 7 wahoo, 5 of them over 50 pounds.
Woo!
Out of 7.
Jeez.
Including a 64-pounder, guys. Let me tell you, that's a wahoo.
Yeah, man.
No doubt.
And we are, you know, when we process them, we're getting guys close to 50% fillet return on those nice wahoos. So that's a hell of a deal there. And wahoo are coming in left and right. Not the Dorado fish, you know, the Dorado bite, nothing really happening there. But hopefully it'll pick up. You know, we got the Dorado shootout coming next month. And then marlin galore. I mean, if you want to catch marlin, it's pretty simple. You could probably, you could probably catch them with a hot dog out there. They're everywhere. So anyway, guys, it's been a great week. Fell off the last couple days a little bit, but I'm sure we'll get back in the swing of things.
Nice. Well, sounds great. And what's been going on at Smokey's?
Oh, man. It's rolling at night. All the fishermen are coming in, watching the basketball, watching the hockey, baseball. And of course, the tequila's flowing like leche y miel, man. Like always.
And of course, Vaquera, the finest charter boat in the East Cape. You have some spots available on Vaquera?
We do. We're pretty busy right now, but we've always got spots available. And they had a great week. They caught wahoo, marlin, tuna. So, yeah. And you can always find us at VaqueraSportFishing.com or get a hold of me at BajaSmokeDog with two G's at Gmail. And we'll take care of all your needs down here, man.
All right. Hey, the best, man. Chris Moyers from Smokey's Curing Company Cantina. Great report. Appreciate that from the East Cape, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
I'll look forward to it, guys. Take care.
All thanks, right. Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that.
That's awesome. I had a fun text standing by. It says, my question for the guys from Seaguar, for Dale, is about different sizes of line. One of my issues that I've had is I love Seaguar, and I often have multiple size spools, and I really like changing my line during my trip. My issue is my tackle box is a little small, and I was curious if you guys had ever thought about changing your sizes of spools to accommodate the box better. And also, he was curious why the heavier lines are in the bigger coils and the lighter lines in the smaller.
Good questions.
I think that just has to do with what we were talking about when you wrap a fishing line, in particular fluorocarbon, around it. A certain size spool, it's going to have a little bit of memory to it. So in the bigger you go in line size, the more memory it has. So the larger leader materials are in coils for that reason. And then when we get to about 80 pound, we go on a different size spool. And then I think it's about 12 pound. We actually reduce it to a little smaller spool. So that's just the characteristic of trying to have the best performance coming off a spool. And if you took 100 pound and you wrapped it around a smaller spool, it's going to be like a slinky. And then you're going to have to go pre-stretch that. Mm-hmm. To help the gentleman with his tackle, Seaguar makes a line management system that holds three or six spools. You could put six or three spools in these. And it organizes your leader spools that you can attach to your tackle box.
Those are super nice. Like those a lot. Yeah.
And you can have it easily accessible, so you don't have to open your tackle box to get your fluorocarbon.
Nice.
That was one of the promos from the PCS show that I love. That was so cool that you guys did. You know, for all of us anglers. And it so conveniently keeps them, and it's got that little clip. I just clip it onto the handle of my bag, and away you go. It keeps everything tight and right and real easy to grab your line from it. I love it.
And these guys still sell those, right?
Absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay, very good.
They're available for sale as well. It was just a promo we ran for the PCS show. You buy three spools of Seaguar fluorocarbon, you got one of our three spool holders, but they are also available for retail at the stores in both the three and the six spool configuration.
Very good. Curtin Visca is asking, he says, good morning, great show as always. Just wanted to give a testament to say our gold. It's just got off a 15-day on the Red Rooster, managed to hook at Alejos Rocks 100-pound yellowfin on 30-pound Spectra and 30-pound gold fluorocarbon, Seaguar gold fluorocarbon top shot. It held up for an hour and 45-minute fight with very little chafing, thanks to Seaguar. How about that, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
That's awesome.
100 pounder on 30 pound.
There you go.
I can so distinctly remember the beginning of gold coming out, and it was during the Guadalupe time, and we got to do a trip with several of the guys in the tackle store. It was when Guadalupe was kind of new, and Frank had put an 8-day trip up that was in December, and people were still real cautious on going that late in the year. And so, long story short, the trip had enough people to go, but there were several spots, and Frank was gracious enough to allow some of the guys from the tackle store to go. And it was when Seaguar Gold was relatively new, and I distinctly remember a particular fish where we were trying to basically create the failure in gold, and we hooked a yellowfin tuna at Guadalupe on 40-pound gold label, and we passed that fish back and forth to like four guys. Like, guys would basically pull on it as hard as they could, treating it as if you hooked it on 130-pound. You pull on it for 3 minutes and pass it to the next guy. And we got that fish, no problem. It ended up being just shy of 100 pounds, like a 98-pounder.
Wow.
And it swallowed the hook. You know, now we were assuming that we hooked it perfect. We didn't. The line was chafing over his teeth, three guys pulling as hard as they could on a 100-pounder on 40-pound,
wow,
and no failure. Ever since then, it has been my – that was the turning point for me. Like, if it could hold up to that, There's just nothing that I could put it through its paces. I'll never pull on a fish that hard in my life. And we had three guys back to back to back as hard as you could. Okay, you take it, your turn.
Pretty
and just
amazing.
Nothing. And it's the best, man. I love it. I love that line.
Pretty amazing. It's good. Yeah, I bet you like hearing stories like that, Dale.
Oh, I know. Rick told me that story, and I was like, you know, like I said, the confidence that I have in that product, you know, I mean, especially with bluefin. I mean, you hear the same deals with bluefin stories. You know, catching big bluefin on 30 pound, 40 pound. And it's all a tribute to that product. It is absolutely a game changer.
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen Bishop writes, Dale, I'm fishing the October 8th day on the Rooster with you. Looking forward to meeting you. Any news about a new version of the Gold Label, improved strength, higher tests like 100 to 130? So we talked about that earlier in the show. Is Steve going to be able to use that new stuff on that 8th day on the Rooster?
Absolutely. Yeah,
You're gonna have it on the boat?
Oh, of course. Of course. I will make sure that they airship me some samples even if it doesn't hit the stores yet. I'll have my samples, trust me, for
okay.
the boat.
So Dale announced earlier in the show that they are making gold in now they make it up to 80 right now, right? And you're gonna make it in 100, 130, 150, and 200, is that right?
Yeah. And I think 170, and that 170 size is kind of an East Coast. It's an East Coast deal for the bluefin off the, you know, Northeast. I had some of that 100 at 130 last year on my 8-day and actually tied Wahoo leaders up for bombs. And, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I have a bunch of, like, Cabo Marlin guys that are, you know, most of them are fishing 200-pound blue label that are going to freak out on that 170 gold. Like, to have a real heavy testing line but still small and still stealthy, like, that I think is going to be a really good one. I bet that surprises us on how successful that 170 size is going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's just a size that is, you know, unique, and with the diameter size of Gold Label, it's going to be crazy.
That's awesome. Well, I had another fun text come through a little bit long. Good morning, guys. Happy Saturday. I was a little bit late to the party when it came to fluorocarbon. I was stuck in the you don't need that, my mono has always worked mindset. Now it's tied to every bait and jig setup I fish. I still fish a decent top shot of mono because I really like the stretch. My question is for Dale. Can you go over the connection knots that you use? Both for heavier line and standard bait fishing. I've always been a uni-to-uni guy, but when it starts to get over 80-pound test, it just doesn't look pretty and gets a little bulky. That's all from Rory in Lakeside.
All right, well, I'll go over the connections that I recommend. From fluoro to braid, huge fan of the John Collins / RP knot, huge fan. I've seen and personally had success with it myself up to 200-pound fish. So I do not have any, and you guys recommended it. I mean, I think
and
you guys taught me
that
to tie it when
my John, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you know, I use it in freshwater too. I mean, it's actually referred to as the Alberto knot for the bass guys.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. If you go, YouTube, the Alberto knot, you're like, that's the RP knot. It is, but, or John Collins knot, but in the bass world, they call it Alberto knot. And I tie it even with, you know, 10-pound braid and 6-pound fluoro. So that knot I would highly recommend. And then fluoro to mono, the Seaguar knot. I mean, that knot might not be the prettiest knot, but it is foolproof. Absolutely. And I've seen guys land huge fish on that.
And again,
the,
easy to tie.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Easy to tie. So, and then, you know, since he did bring up that he likes the mono, the mono stretch. See, I'm the opposite. I like fill it all the way up with braid and a short fluoro leader, depending on what I'm fishing for. You know, stretches the chest, get his head, and I want to put as much pressure on fish, especially big fish. And I know some of the crews and some of the boats still like it for user friendliness with anglers and crew, but I think that if you've never caught a big fish on the braided to fluoro connection only, it'll surprise you how much pressure you can put on these fish and how much quicker you can land them.
And it's also not to say that fluoro has zero stretch. You know, there is some give there. It's not a ton and it's not as much as mono, but fluorocarbon does stretch. I mean, you'll see it when you're straightening your, you know, when we talked about putting the hook on the trolling strap and straightening that line out. I mean, even your 25-foot piece, when you lock it up and start walking that thing back and forth, I mean, you'll still feel a foot or two of stretch just in that short of a piece of line.
Yeah, no, it actually surprises you, Rick. You're right. But people don't realize that mono has up to 30% stretch when it gets wet and soft. And it's, and you feel, and I don't know if you guys have experienced it, I'm sure you guys have, but when my first time I really made that commitment to go braid the fluoro, no mono, there was a couple of times on the first fish I hooked, I thought the fish came off. And it's because there was no stretch. Fish was swimming towards me, and there was no stretch to kind of keep pressure on the rod. And then I realized that this fish is swimming towards me. Just keep winding the reel faster. And it is amazing how much stretch is in mono that people do not realize that exists.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Tom in Thousand Palms has a question. With smaller bait anchovies, what's Dale's recommendation for a setup way to go to rig to fish the chove?
Well, since we make Gold Label in smaller sizes, obviously smaller bait, smaller line. So, I wouldn't change anything. I still use a short piece of, you know, fluoro anywhere from like 6 to 8 feet. I'm going to downsize my, you know, fluoro depending on the, you know, size of the anchovy and the, what I'm actually targeting. And I'm going to attach that to pretty much a reel full of braid.
Okay. Yeah. And what's, so and, if you're fishing a chove, smaller reel, you know, type of rod, just a little more castability. I don't know, maybe Ricky can recommend a rod on a chovy. But what pound braid are you going to start with?
Yeah, good question.
Well, we make the Seaguar Threadlock 16 strand. We make that in a 50 pound. It's pretty tiny, so I would definitely go with the 50 pound Threadlock. And you know that anchovy is going to swim better on a braided line and a small fluoro leader than it is on straight mono.
For sure.
I mean, the braid's small, and that's one of the reasons that I like fishing a full spool of braid, is that bait is going to swim better in the water having to pull a smaller diameter line behind it.
Yeah. Now, what rod, Rick?
Man, you know, if I'm fishing a chove right now, obviously it depends a little bit on the size of fish that we're catching, but I'm a huge fan. I still like glass a lot, so I'm like a 196 or a 8 foot 270 CalStar guy would be my favorite. New technology, gonna be pretty hard to beat an 800 XL. It's light, it's got much better lifting power. You're gonna get a little, in my opinion, this is just for chovy fishing, I think you'll get a little better casting advantage out of having glass because it's real soft and it'll help keep the hook into that chove better. But no question, you'll have better like fish fighting ability out of the, you know, that graphite in the rod. So my gut would be 800 XL or 800 XLH, or if you go glass, 196.8 or a 278.
Yeah.
And
all right,
those are my favorite CalStars.
Now you're leaving for Kingfisher Charters tomorrow with our Let's Talk Hookup group, right? Tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Heading up to Kingfisher?
Dallas and I are going. And
what's the weather forecast?
It's in between.
Yeah,
it's not going to be blue.
Don't like the weather. Wait a minute.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it's going to be. It looks like it's kind of in between. It's not bluebird skies. It's not stormy either. It's kind of Alaska sunshine. It's gray. It's going to be a little bit wet, but not the whole time. Looks like more. Again, in between. First day is going to be not too bad. No time will be unfishable. We're going to have some breeze in the afternoons on two of the days. One day looks like it's going to be really nice. So, you know, you always strategize when you go your black cods and go to deep water. But it looks like we're in for a really good trip. And I talked to Seth and the guys just a little bit ago, and they're having some really good fishing. Had some great friends that fished, Ken Morris, who comes on the show. He was just fishing with Simon, and they had a really good trip. Lots of really good inshore fishing, big halibut. They had their limits of everything every day in true Kingfisher fashion. So, yeah we
I'm
can't
sure
wait.
You'll eat well and sleep well and just be treated the Kingfisher way.
I mean,
there.
It's my favorite trip of the year. It's fantastic accommodations. I have to very much say, and I'm glad you gave me the opportunity, big thanks to both grandmas, my mom and Dal's mom. They're watching both the boys. So
for Father's Day.
So Dallas
so
and I
tomorrow you're celebrating Father's Day.
Dallas and I are both getting to go, mom and dad, all on for a full week of fishing and fun. And, yes, there's going to be some very good sleeping. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves a six-pack of Seaguar. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and Facebook and YouTube Live.
Haida Gwaii Safaris, formerly Queen Charlotte Safaris, invites you to experience the magic of Haida Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, I'm Valerie Hopebridge. 25 years ago, I fell in love with these incredible islands, the breathtaking scenery, the warm community, and the truly phenomenal fishing. That passion inspired me to open my own fishing lodge, just steps from the Sanspit Harbor at Haida Gwaii Safaris. You will be fishing in pristine, pressured waters for Chinook, king salmon, halibut, lingcod, and much more. Plus, be surrounded by untouched beauty. We pride ourselves on creating an unforgettable venture that turns first-time guests into lifetime friends. You will come for the fishing, and you will come back for the memories. We are booking now. Call us at 1-877-815-2892 or visit our website, qcsafaris.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram.
You know, whether you're going fishing, diving, or just having fun on the water, there's nothing more worth doing than messing around in boats. So let me ask you, are you ready to upgrade your ride? Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland is your exclusive Western U.S. dealer for Steiger Craft. Created for inshore and offshore waters and laid out with the serious fisherman in mind, Steiger Craft has built a solid reputation for performance and excellent rough water handling. If adventure on the water is what you live for, now's the time to invest in your passion. Call Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland at 510-437-1444. To look at the whole fleet of Steiger Craft online, go to steigercraft.com. Now's the time for a rugged, reliable, and fast Steiger Craft from Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Hi, this is Christy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal use boats, business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. We need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label Leader Material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader shy fish. With exceptional knot and tinsel strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound test for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound test for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. It is time. I get to do the honors today. I get to flip the prize coin here. So we're going to find out who's got themselves a six-pack of Seaguar Fluorocarbon. Today it's going to a texter. Congratulations, Steve from Bishop. You have got yourself a six-pack of Seaguar Gold Label. I think Steve was the one who asked if it would
go on the rooster.
So you got yourself a six-pack. Congratulations, Steve.
Hey, Dale, great job. Missed you here in the studio as people watching YouTube and Facebook saw you. You were on the phone the full towers, but did a great job. You are such a wealth of knowledge. If somebody wants more information on Seaguar, how do we do it?
Just go to our website, Seaguar.com, Seaguar.com.
All right. Hey, appreciate you, Dale. Thanks a lot for being with us, and thank you for being with us. Thanks to Jeff in the fan studio, and thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app, and of course, George, our extraordinary engineer. Tomorrow morning, Corey and I will be here because Ricky will be on a flight up to Sitka. Brandon Nelson from Lucky Bee Sport Fishing and Max Despoto from, he's a jigging expert. It's kind of an East versus West bluefin thing jigging expert thing. So that's going to be a great show. 7 to 9 a.m. right back here on Facebook and YouTube Live, Let's Talk Hookup app, and 97.3 The Fan. We'll see you then.